How are y'all doing this morning? All right. If you've been worshiping us for a while, you're probably looking up here and thinking, man, what are you doing here today? I'm not the preacher here at Billerica Christian Church, so if you're visiting today, I would urge you to come back next week so you can hear some real preaching. I am simply a servant here, and I'll tell you what happened yesterday. My wife Becky and I were celebrating our 37th wedding anniversary, and we happened to be in Atlanta, and I had my phone turned off for most of the day, and late in the afternoon, I turned my phone on, and there's a message from our beloved preacher, Billy. And the message was to call him, and he didn't sound too good. And so I called him back, and Billy explained that he had a stomach virus and was feeling pretty poorly, and could I stand in for him today and preach for him? And my first thought was, man, how can I get out of this? And I feel bad about that, you know, because I will tell you that since Billy has started preaching with us, he and I have been enjoying lunch together almost every week for the past 10 years. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was telling Billy over lunch, man, when can I get an opportunity to preach again one time? And here it came, and I had this like guilty feeling about thinking, man, how can I get out of this? I'm happy to be here this morning, and I am very, very humbled. Billy does have a stomach virus, so put him first and foremost on your prayer list that God would restore him and bring him to health 100% and do that quickly so that he can come and join us again. Also, if you have your bulletin, you're going to see on the front it says full of it. And that was the message that Billy was going to bring today. It was going to be a message of peace. And that message is going to be delivered next week by Billy. We're going to hear something a little bit different this morning. So you all just bear with me, please. I can remember in some of my earlier conversations with Billy, he expressed to me that he wanted to grow as a preacher over time. And one of the things that I've really admired about Billy is that he is able to preach without notes in front of him. I mean, have you ever noticed that about Billy? He can just come out here and he can preach and he can deliver a message and he doesn't have to refer to any papers. Well, I'm a little bit different. I can't do it that way. I have to have notes in front of me. So you all will just have to bear with me this morning. And I'd like to start by sharing a little story with you, something that happened to me when I was very young. You see, I was in third or fourth grade. I can't remember exactly which one. And back then in the 1950s, you would be let out for recess from time to time, and you could go out in the playground and you could play. And I was out there playing with my friends when my teacher calls me into the classroom. Now, getting called back in from recess was, kind of bad. Maybe it wasn't as bad as getting called in by the principal, but getting your teacher to call you in, that was kind of bad. And she brought me into the classroom. There's nobody in there but me and her. And she sat me down. And she said, Paul, you know your multiplication tables, don't you? Yes, ma'am, I do. And she pulled out a test that we had taken the day before. And this was the kind of test that back then you would take in grade school and it was supposed to tell the school board whether you were going to be a ditch digger or a doctor when you got older. And she said, Paul, you've got every one of these wrong. She says, now you do know how to do these, don't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. Well, she stood there next to me and had me work the first couple of problems, make sure that I was doing them the right way. And then she watched over me while I did the whole rest of the thing, handed it into her, and then went back out to recess again. And I'll tell you, this whole episode didn't take any more than 15 minutes of my life. But I remember it to this day because, you see, she gave me a second chance. She was taking a risk as a teacher, and she was giving me a precious second chance. And the reason I share that story with you this morning is because it's always stuck with me, and it reminds me of a scripture that we can turn to this morning. And if you have your Bible with you, turn to Luke chapter 13, and we're going to read a little bit about what happens here when Jesus uses parables as part of his teaching. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like parables, and I'm sure that each one of us has a favorite parable. This parable is a little bit different, and there's a message in it, I think, that we could miss if we didn't really look at it closely. It's a special parable. What's your favorite parable this morning? What comes to mind? Somebody say what their favorite parable is. The prodigal son. That is a good one. The parable of the sower is another one. A lot of people think about that, or the parable of the faith of the grain of mustard seed. But this parable, this one that we're going to see here in Luke chapter 13, this parable might be referred to as the parable of the second chance. You see, it's a parable about a fig tree. A fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit. You see, a year passes and a man comes, the owner of the property comes, and he goes to pick some figs from the branches, and there are none. And so he waits another year. And then he comes to pick the figs, and there are none again. And then he comes a third time, the third year, there are no figs. Year after year, there's no figs on the fig tree. And so he says to the gardener now, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? But the gardener comes to defense of the tree and says, sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. And that's where the parable ends. And it kind of leaves us with questions. We don't know the response of the owner. We don't know whether the tree ever produced any fruit. But I don't think that's the point of the parable. I think the parable raises the importance of offering a second chance. Did the tree bear fruit? We don't know. But we do know this, that unless that tree gets another chance to bear fruit, we'll never know. We'll never know if it can. Now, there's a risk, obviously, in taking second chances, but unless that risk is taken, we never know what might have been. So this parable, to me, highlights the frustration that God has when we live our lives and we're failing to bear fruit for Him. It also highlights for us God's love. That is the kind of love that is willing to take a second chance on us. We see the story of second chances all throughout the Bible. And we're going to take a look at a couple of them this morning. And the first one we're going to look at is the story of Jonah. Now, when I say the word Jonah, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
A whale.
A whale. Okay, we think about that because ever since we've been kids and we've been in Sunday school, we heard the story of Jonah. Jonah got swallowed by a whale. The Bible calls it a big fish. He spent time in the belly of the whale. He got vomited it out. Let me share with you how the book of Jonah begins. Chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We kind of know what happens. The ship is imperiled by a storm. Jonah is thrown overboard. He is swallowed by the great fish. Chapter 2 describes how Jonah prays from the belly of the fish. God causes the fish to vomit Jonah out onto dry land. Okay, so now we get to chapter 3 in Jonah. Here's how it starts. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah, get this, a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So question, aren't you glad that ours is a God of second chances? Jonah got one. We're going to see some other Bible characters that get one. Did you get one? We see the story of second chances in Peter. And we We know Peter very well. Many of us can relate to him. He denied our Lord in his hour of need. And a little bit later, Peter just gives him a new chance at life. He says to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." How about Saul? Remember him on the road to Damascus? "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He struck blind for a time and sent to the home of a Christian man where he is given a second chance to serve God. Now, the Bible is literally full of these kinds of stories because God is willing to risk it all to give us a second chance. Why? Why would He do that? Could it be because He just earnestly desires for us to bear fruit for Him? Like the fig tree? I'm going to share with you a real-life second chance, a story that comes from earlier in this century. We're all familiar with Thomas Edison, the inventor. What are some of the things that Thomas Edison are known for? What did he invent? The light bulb. He did invent the light bulb. Now, you can imagine how it was for Thomas Edison in his laboratory to come up with the idea for a light bulb and what it took to do that. I mean, he had to come up with this glass enclosure. He had to suck the air out of it to make a vacuum. He had to test so many different kind of filaments because he had this idea that you could use electricity to illuminate the world. It was a radical concept at the time. And he had a team of fellows that worked with him on this project for years to get this light bulb to work. Well, finally, the big day came. You know, they built the light bulb. They sucked the air out. They had the filament just right. They turned on the electricity, and lo and behold, that light bulb lit up. It was a glorious moment. Thomas Edison took that light bulb and gave it to one of his assistants, told him to take it upstairs and to store it in the lab up there. And the young assistant was so excited, he grabbed the light bulb and ran up the stairs and stumbled. And there went the bulb, shattering against the stairs. How do you think that young assistant felt? Oh, man. I mean, he understood that this was a fantastic invention. He felt terrible. He felt in despair. He felt ashamed. You can imagine, if you will, the anger and the frustration in the room. You know, Thomas Edison was there. The assistants were there. There were other people there who watched this invention be destroyed. It is a good thing that Thomas Edison had completely documented the process for building the light bulb. And so they built another one. And to their relief, they hit the switch and it turned on again and it lit up the room. And after the test, Edison picked up the light bulb and hesitated for a moment and gave it to the same young man and asked him to put it away. How do you think the young man felt then? You see, Thomas Edison gave this young man a priceless second chance. You know, you may have heard people tell you that there shouldn't be second chances. I feel like our God is a God of second chances because He understands that our world wouldn't work very well if there were no second chances. It's kind of like what in the prison system parole boards are all about. It's kind of like what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. Forgiveness. It's all about second chances. How about waking up in a hospital after surgery? It's all about second chances. I bet you every one of you could stand up this morning and tell a story about a second chance of some sort that you've had in your life. I'm not going to ask you to do that this morning. I'm just going to ask you to think about it, the ones that have happened to you. They brought a woman to Jesus one day, caught in the very act of adultery. Now, according to the law, that sin was punishable by death. Here's how the scripture goes. This woman was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus. The law says she should be stoned. What do you say? Well, we know from the scripture that Jesus knelt down and he scribbled in the dirt a little bit, and the woman's accusers began picking up stones. And Jesus knew that she was guilty. There was no doubt about it. He could have said, she's guilty. She deserves to be stoned. But instead, Jesus stands up and he says these words, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. I bet you could have heard a pin drop. One by one, the stones are dropped from the hands of the men. And they walk away. And soon it's only Jesus and the woman left. And he says to her, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus gave her a precious second chance. Now, you probably think that's a story about a woman who lived around 2,000 years ago, but it's a lot more than that. It's your story, and it's my story, because we have, each one of us, been given a second chance. So let's see if we can apply the lesson of this parable to our lives today. If your neighbor has offended you, give them another chance. If your fellow worker sticks it to you, give her another chance. If a brother or sister in Christ disappoints you, give them another chance. If your parents mess up, give them another chance. If your husband or wife has done you wrong, give him or her another chance. If you don't care for my message this morning, then please give me another chance one day. I will pray that as Jesus digs and fertilizes, that in the next year, we'll bear the kind of fruit that He desires from us. What kind of fruit is that? Well, the Bible's clear about that too. We find it in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Friends, my prayer for us this morning is that each one of us would richly bear these fruits of the Spirit, that we would use that fruit to influence those around us, and that each one of us would touch another heart with something very special, a precious second chance.